Sairam, dear listeners, and a loving Sairam, Sairam from Prashant Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And as the month of February proceeds, we eagerly await the celebration of Shivaratri. Shivaratri with Akhanda Bhajan, the second occasion in the year when we do Akhanda Bhajan in Prashant Nilayam, apart from the 24-hour session that we do during birthdays. Of course, the Shivaratri Akhanda Bhajan is a 12-hour sadhana. And what a sadhana it is. Swami says, sadhana is that which helps us replace the tendencies of the mind with the virtues of the Atma, or the noble characteristics of the heart. And such Akhanda Bhajans help us to calm our minds, to redirect our mental faculties towards that which is sublime, which is potent, and which is highly fulfilling and highly rewarding. In fact, very recently I was fortunate to visit the shrine of Sri Arunachaleshwara in Tiruvannamalai in Tamil Nadu. Tiruvannamalai is where one can visit the ashram of Sri Ramana Maharshi, also one of the greatest beings in the modern times. And here in one of the gopurams of this huge temple, huge ancient temple, Arunachaleshwara, there is this green parrot which is sculpted on this white background of the gopuram. In fact, this temple has four huge gopurams, and the tallest is the eastern tower with 11 stories and a height of 66 meters, making it one of the tallest temple towers in India. So in one of the gopurams, where the entire structure is in white, in this white background, there is sitting a parrot in green. And anyone who has visited this temple and seen this gopuram would definitely notice this patch of green in the background of white. If only you just lifted your head up and saw the grandeur of the gopuram. The story behind this parrot is that it is actually not a parrot. It is Saint Arunagirinathar. Apparently, many years ago, the king of that place wanted to decide whose devotion is superior. Is it Arunagirinathar, who was devoted to Lord Muruga, or another person who was the administrator of his kingdom? And this administrator apparently was jealous of Arunagirinathar. And so the king decided a way to decide whose devotion is mightiest. And so the king suggested that both these devotees of the Lord pray to the Lord, and whichever deity manifests after their prayer, he is to be considered the winner. And as I mentioned, Arunagirinathar was devoted to Lord Muruga, while the administrator was a worshipper of Kali, Mother Kali. And when both of them prayed, it is said that the prayer of Arunagiri was so intense that Lord Muruga did appear. And in fact, the light that shone during the Lord's manifestation was so immense that it actually blinded the king. And then Arunagirinathar had to convert himself into a parrot to fly and get a particular flower's juice to restore the king's eyesight. So that was the power of the saint Arunagirinathar's devotion. Even till this day, he stands in the form of a parrot in the gopuram as a green parrot. A green parrot signifying how just by singing the Lord's name, he made the Lord manifest in front of him. How he was blessed with such fantastic powers, he could convert himself into a parrot. And he got all these siddhis, not with any penance or anything, just by singing the Lord's name. And more important, the Lord made his memory immortal. That gopuram is called today Kili Gopuram. Kili means parrot. It's a testimony to the power of devotion and devotional singing. In fact, he has composed any number of songs on Lord Muruga. Lord Muruga, the son of Lord Shiva. And that parrot every time we look up, it signifies that evolving consciousness. It signifies that upliftment of the soul and the birth of the soul into higher levels of consciousness, signifying, which are symbolized in the color green. Like this, in fact, every corner of this Arunachaleshwara temple has beautiful stories. It's a legendary temple. And just like how Prashantinilam is, you take any statue, take any pillar, and connected with it are so many stories, so many experiences, because it's filled with the touch of the avatar. So we will dwell on this more, on the principle of Arunachala, on the principle of Arunachala Sai Shiva Shakti, as we near the festival of Shivaratri. But for today, let me tell you something else. It was on this trip recently when I had gone to Tiruvannamalai to have the darshan of Lord Arunachaleshwar, I also happened to go to Pondicherry, again another historic place where you have the ashram of Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo, who on November 24th, 1926, just after Baba's advent, he came out of his meditation and declared to the world that all that he was praying for has finally materialized. Krishna consciousness has taken form. I was blessed to go to the Samadhi of Sri Aurobindo, and as I sat there, I absorbed that serenity and peace of that ashram. And even as I did this, interestingly, I also met a very senior lady who was born 2 years after Baba was born. So she is now about 83 years old. And as I was speaking to her, I was amazed at how intellectually active she was even at that age, 83. And besides being physically so agile, she wanted no help even when she was climbing stairs, and she led a very simple life. She did not want any help from her children, even though she could have whatever she wanted because all her children were very well placed and they were well endowed. But her needs were minimal. And as I began talking to her and knowing more about her, I discovered that her inspiration, apart from her devotion to Swami, which is 24 hours, she's constantly thinking about Swami, but her inspiration also comes from Gandhiji. It was a discovery for me, because she started talking about Gandhiji so passionately, and she said this life of simplicity that she is living now is what she's learned from Gandhiji, because she was someone who has seen Gandhiji, who was part of the freedom movement, having been born in 1928, and how Gandhiji clothed himself so minimally, and how his heart was always with the poor. And she started talking about also an occasion when Bhagwan himself in an interview told her that the staff that Gandhiji was holding was not an ordinary staff. Bhagwan said, "That is the staff of truth. Gandhiji stood by truth, and it is truth that protected the Mahatma and gave him all the power." In fact, when I heard this from her mouth, my mind immediately went back to that discourse that Bhagwan gave to all the students on Independence Day in 1985. And Swami mentioned that whatever Gandhi has achieved is only because of his Atma Balam, that is the strength derived from one's soul, from one's adherence to noble principles. I think it's appropriate here for us to listen to that clip again. That will really set the mood for what you're going to discuss tonight.
Ye Gandhi sambandhamainatunti okka kontha mandi maatrame ee Congress anetunti peru pettukunnatunti varu Bharat deshaniki swatantram teppincharannaru. Kaadu kaadu, mana pillal lopala prathi okka pillavaadu kodunu Gandhi kaavali.
It is said that through Gandhi and through the organization of Congress, the few people were able to obtain independence. But that is not it. ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ ఓన్ చిల్డ్రన్ షుడ్ రియలీ బికమ్ ఏ గాంధీ.
నేను గాంధీ గాంధీ అని బ్రాందీ తాకూడదు.
డిక్లరింగ్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ అస్ గాంధీ వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ టేక్ బ్రాండీ.
కనుక గాంధీ అనగా గాంధీ బుద్ధి యొక్క వికాసము.
గాంధీ యాక్చువల్లీ రెఫర్స్ టు ద బ్లాజమింగ్ ఆఫ్
దీనిని గాయత్రి మంత్రంలో కూడా ధియోయోన ప్రచోదయాత్ అన్నారు.
దిస్ అలోన్ ఇస్ డిక్లేర్డ్ ఈవెన్ ఇన్ గాయత్రి వెన్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సెడ్ ధియోయోన ప్రచోదయాత్.
పిల్లలు కాని పెద్దలు కాని హృదయాన్ని విశాలం చేసుకోవాలి. అదే నిజమైనటువంటి ఆధ్యాత్మికం.
బి ఇట్ చిల్డ్రన్ ఆర్ ఎల్డర్స్ వన్ హాస్ టు బ్రాడన్ వన్స్ ఓన్ హార్ట్.
So there were Bhagwan very clearly saying that dhi in Gandhi refers to buddhi, refers to listening to the voice of conscience, listening to that positive intelligence, intellect, where you are in tune with that inner self, with that God self. And in the last 2 weeks, on Thursday Live, on Outside Inside Deep Inside, we saw how Gandhiji lived his life, always supported by this pillar of truth. And we heard about this from someone who has witnessed Gandhiji at very close quarters, someone who has served Gandhiji, someone who has lived with him, someone who has worked with him. One of his personal secretaries who is still alive and indeed very active at 91, Mr. V. Kalyanam. In the first episode of this program, 2 weeks ago, Mr. Kalyanam shared with you the incredible impact that Gandhiji has had on him. We heard how Mr. Kalyanam was so inspired by Gandhiji that even till this day, he keeps himself so busy. He's so self-reliant. He spends 6 to 7 hours every day doing gardening, and then he does not waste a single scrap of paper or an used envelope or a bottle. He cleans the entire staircase of the building and so on. And then we moved on to the story of how he became a freedom fighter, how Mr. Kalyanam joined Gandhiji's ashram in Sevagram in Wardha, and then his curious first meeting with Gandhiji. And in the second episode that was played last Thursday, we heard Mr. Kalyanam's reminiscing the lessons of life that he learned by living and working with the Mahatma. And today, in the last episode of this program based on Gandhiji and his secretary, Mr. Kalyanam, we are going to listen to something very different. Though this is a program again on Kalyanam, but you are not going to listen to Kalyanam at all, unlike previous episodes. Till now you have heard what impact Gandhiji had on Kalyanam for him to so steadfastly lead such a life even after 60 years of Gandhiji passing away. You heard that in the last 2 episodes. But today we are going to move on and see what impact Kalyanam, Mr. Kalyanam, had on others. So we were going to get a glimpse of what a Gandhian, a true Gandhian, can do to society. So that is what is up for all of us tonight on Thursday Live.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, and today we continue with the life, as I mentioned, the life of awe-inspiring non-Nigerian Gandhian, Mr. V. Kalyanam. During that trip to Chennai in April 2013, when I had the chance to meet Mr. Kalyanam and talk to him and spend a day with him, when I was talking to Mr. Kalyanam, I remember that afternoon, someone rang the bell, and then came a youngster by name Prabhu, and he started discussing about the maintenance charges for the building that he had to pay, and what are the other charges that were due from him and so on. So I got a little bit interested to know if the building belonged to Mr. Kalyanam, because he was this Prabhu was coming and asking what are the dues to be paid and so on. And after I saw them conversing for some time, then I started talking to Prabhu to find out more about what Kalyanam does and what Mr. Prabhu was trying to do at that point in time. And then he told me that, no, he's just a tenant. I'm also a tenant, Mr. Prabhu told me. It is just that Mr. Kalyanam is the one who collects the rent from everyone in the building voluntarily. No one asks him to do that. He does it voluntarily and he gives it to the owner on time. He is the one who collects the electricity charges from all and deposits it with the government authorities on time. Everything that has to be taken care of the building, Mr. Kalyanam at 91 does everything. Unasked, unsolicited. There was no need, there is no need for Kalyanam to do this, but he gladly does it every month. In fact, as I started speaking to Mr. Prabhu, he told me that there are times when he would not give the amount to Mr. Kalyanam on time, but Kalyanam would himself pay the money from his own pocket and not be too bothered if Prabhu did not compensate for it in a few weeks or months. There were times when Mr. Kalyanam would prepare even food and serve not only Prabhu but his wife and his little child. And so on, Mr. Prabhu went, when I started asking him one question after another about what he has seen of Kalyanam as his neighbor, he was so moved because what Mr. Kalyanam has done to him, no one has done to him in his life. And I thought this is something which we really need to record, this is something which we really need to capture. Because this is something which has to be shared with the world.
Hi, I am Prabhu. I live in this apartment. I knew Ayya for a very long time. I call Mr. Kalyanam Ayya. This is a honorable word which we use for the elderly and the most respectable persons in our life. I know him for 5 years and these 5 years has brought such a change in me. The kind of things that I would learn from him, you can't number it. Not just me, it's my wife, my family, the next of everybody who would come to visit me or our family would talk about him at least for some time. The energy level at his age, 91, is unbelievable. He is kind of a guardian angel for all of us in here. So many things I could talk about him, but I would really try to do a gist on him. The kind of the person that I have seen in him is, he is environmentally conscious. He tries to help others to the maximum limit possible. At 91, we wouldn't be able to help ourselves. But whereas in here...
So you said that you have seen in Mr. Kalyanam an attitude to go out and help. And you've been perhaps the recipient of that so many times. And what are the instances that come to your mind where you really touched at the way he went to the extent to help you and your family?
He is a person who you wouldn't believe. He has put a board everywhere saying you can knock at his door at any time, not only of the day, of the night as well. He says even if at 1 o'clock you need something, just knock, just call, and he is always available. See, like instances, I have been kind of, I didn't take my keys and I have been locked out. These were small instances. I would have called him at 2 o'clock in the night.
2 o'clock in the night.
He wouldn't even show anything because see, that one instances I might have traveled from my hometown and I was locked out. He would be so happy to come and open the door.
No irritation, no anger.
No anger at all. He clearly says that to everybody. Call me anytime.
And how is it having him as one of the occupants of the same building?
See, as I told you earlier, he's kind of a guardian angel. These are terms that I coined because nobody can do the kind of things that he does. He takes care of everything, the maintenance of this entire block. There are 6 higher residences and a commercial establishment in the ground floor. He takes care of the people who work here.
Right. What do you mean by he takes care? What does he do?
See, the maintenance stuff, if something goes wrong, he puts in so much effort in calling people, getting it fixed. There are so many things. I don't have words to actually put in all this.
Can you recall one or two instances where you saw his tenacity in trying to ensure that the occupants of this building are lead a
See, there was an instance where there was a commercial establishment which came on the next door. There was so much noise pollution. It was a restaurant, and so they had a chimney out, a big chimney indeed, which what we had air pollution, we had noise pollution. For instance, I have a small kid, a year and a half old kid, who wouldn't have been comfortable with that noise and with that kind of air pollution. He put in so much effort and time in writing to all the concerned authority, talking to the owner of that establishment. He made sure, see, it took a while, but he made sure the consistency, the perseverance and doing things is unbelievable. You know what? He walks the stairs up and down almost like 10 times a day at 91. And he wouldn't let go anything. If something has to be done, see, these are small things that I learned from him. You can't let go if you have to achieve something.
Perseverance.
Perseverance is the key.
And that too not for his sake.
Yeah, for others. And taking care of people in the sense, everybody comes to him. Like a roadside vendor, if he has got a trouble, he comes to him. So he would make sure his entire family survives by whatever they are doing.
What impact has he had on your family?
See, for my family, let me talk about me per se. See, he has opened up my mind like nobody has done so far. He has actually made me think what joy of helping others would bring in me. Mm-hmm. So my wife always says, see, Aya does so many things and it really makes me happy. See, he would, the finer points in life to help others, it would really touch others.
So he has brought that change in you?
Of course, yes.
There is a change in the outlook of life?
Of course, yes.
Can you give me some instances about how it has really changed your way of thinking?
See, when I am stuck up late in the night, when my wife, she doesn't have a place to walk around, he would always insist upon having a lunch, breakfast with him when my family is not around. You know what? He cooks.
So he cooks for you?
Yep, of course. He would offer me a cup of coffee. And he would always say, if you are hungry, come upstairs.
Oh my God.
These are things you wouldn't...
At his age, people will expect that you serve them.
True. And I would have offered him to help in so many instances, which he has said, if I need, I will call you. He has never called me in these 5 years.
But you have gone to him so many times.
Yes, of course. For whatever, I would always say, yeah, I have an issue in here. He would say, na paathukara, which means he will take care.
And he will take care.
He will take care.
Wonderful. Now, you were talking about how he has brought some change in the way you treat life, the way you look at life.
See, I came here as a bachelor. You know how my college grad out of college, all by himself in a house, would lead his life. The bad vibes that I have just before marriage, he would always talk to me in such a way that I won't get offended. I have never felt that way at all. In a very friendly manner, to change my habits, to change my vibes, to bring a betterment for my entire life.
Maybe give one or two examples about how he's refined your personality and your...
See, not just my habits, my total thinking per se has changed. And the way in which he tells it, it's not how we do actually. See, for me, even I try to follow the same nature. I would always suggest something. If I like to bring in a betterment in somebody's life, I would try to implement it and tell it to them in a way that Aya would tell it to me.
You have learned that from him?
Yes, of course.
And you said it has brought some kind of change in the way you think about how you treat others and the outlook towards life per se.
Community service, I have thought about it so many times. But I thought you should really have time to do all these things. But whatever I saw from him, to do any community service, you don't need to have the time. No matter how big or small it is, it's not like you go work for the community for the entire day or for the entire week. Small things, which would hardly take 5 minutes of your time, is a community service, is what I understood from him. I have started implementing it in my life and it has brought me so much joy.
Wow, that is fantastic. Maybe you can give us one or two instances about how you have tried to implement that in your life.
See, for instance, in this apartment, see, when Aya is around, he will take care of things. When Aya is not around, let me say, there was an instance a couple of days back when the motor went bust. There was no water in the building. If it was earlier, I would have said like, okay, yeah, he would come there and take care of it. But I started thinking, what would the other families do? What will they do for water? Immediately, I would put in effort. It's just a phone call and following it up. But I did it. I made people come here, fix the motor, and I made sure water was there.
For all?
For all.
I mean, you thought, how will other people
live
their life?
Yeah. If it was earlier, I would tell you straight away, I would have gone to my friend's place to stay for the night. Okay. It's that easy.
You won't think about it.
Yes, of course. I will also have a good time with my friends, go stay with them, and everybody would welcome me with an open heart. That is what I would have done earlier.
It's sort of expanded your heart, expanded your...
Of course, yes. Yeah. Now, you know what? Every vendor on the roadside, everybody who lives around would know me. That's just because of Ayya.
Because the way you have now started relating to these people.
Exactly.
Earlier you wouldn't care to talk to them.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have time to even look who is there in the first place. And later I realized these guys are here for the last 10 years, 15 years.
So now you spend time with them?
Of course. You speak
to them?
Yeah.
So now you have a very good relationship?
Around. With everybody.
And that's a very comforting feeling.
Yes, of course.
And a small change in attitude. That's
yes, right. Of course. Wonderful. These are smaller things anybody could implement in no time, is what I would say.
Wonderful. And you have seen the routine of Mr. Kalyanam.
Yep.
I mean, probably you have seen him doing gardening and all that.
Of course. See, as I told you earlier, the kind of energy level, if somebody at this age could walk two-story building at least 10 times a day, can you believe the kind of energy he would have to put in the other course that he does every day? He doesn't have a cook. He doesn't have a maid. He takes care of himself by all means. He never expects anybody to help him out. Apart from this, he puts in so much time to sweep the entire place.
Sweep the entire place?
Yes, he
does. You have seen him doing it?
I have seen him doing it. He would make sure the garden is spick and span. There might be, see, in few instances, there will be few parts on the walkway. If he sees an elderly person like my dad walking around, my dad has a habit of walking every morning. He would make sure there is enough pathway. He will move the parts himself.
Oh my God, for your dad?
Yes, of course, for others. He has done it for my wife earlier.
Is it?
Yeah. When I came back with my kid, a year and a half old kid, he would offer me, say, I have a vegetable garden upstairs. You come pick whatever vegetables you want.
Oh my God.
For the child.
For the child.
Yeah.
So your child, does she recognize him? Does she spend time with Mr.
She is too young right now. But I made sure the moment she came to Chennai, the moment she came to the house, the first thing my wife did was took her to him. Okay. To get his blessings.
Get his blessings.
Of course.
It's so important.
Yes, of course. It would make a big impact on her entire life is what I would think.
Wonderful. I mean, you're also convinced about it.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Now, I see you as a youngster who seem to be so inspired by what you have seen of Mr. Kalyanam.
See, kind of guys like me, if they are around with him, they will definitely get inspired, is what I would say.
So, you're sure that if suppose your friends...
I can assure you. Anybody, you see, I've been here for quite a long time. That's why I could talk about him for this long. Anybody who is around him will have that energy, will have that broad-mindedness at looking at things, at helping people.
So you think he has that power to bring that change in people because he lives by that example?
Yes, of course. He just lives by it.
Yeah, I mean, so what comes to my mind is, you know, many times we feel that the current generation doesn't believe in those values. They feel it's very difficult to follow the values of Gandhiji and all that.
I was one of them. If changes have come in my life, it will definitely have an impact in everybody's life.
If changes have come in my life, it would have an impact on any other youngster's life. That is what Prabhu said. Mr. Kalyanam's neighbor. And you heard for more than 10 minutes, he's sharing how Mr. Kalyanam is his guardian angel, how he has broadened his heart, how he has taught him little finer things of life, which has improved his quality of life. I was wondering earlier, if anyone is noticing this great man who so diligently has been leading a Gandhian life for 50-60 years, and that afternoon when I started talking to Prabhu and later when we sat down and discussed in detail, and when he opened up, that is when my eyes also opened up to how Mr. Kalyanam is truly someone who is slowly but surely, silently bringing that change in the people around him. And most interestingly, as I opened myself to this idea of how he is transforming lives, I was surprised with so many more interesting people that I met after this. Mr. Kalyanam lives alone, as I mentioned, doing everything on his own, but In his next door is his daughter, Miss Malini Kalyanam, and her son Vignesh. And I was keen to know what was the impression of Vignesh about his grandfather and about the unique life that his grandfather has led. Does he appreciate and emulate the ideals and the principles that his grandfather has practiced all his life, or does he find it too hard, or does he find it too difficult, or does he find it too impractical and maybe even irrelevant for the current times? I wanted to know all this. And so we sat down with Ganesh, with Vignesh.
My name is Vignesh, M.S. Vignesh to be precise, and I'm studying in class 10 in P.S. Senior Secondary School here in Chennai, and I'm the grandson of the great, if I could say, V. Kalyanam, the former personal secretary to Mahatma Gandhi. I've been privileged to be his grandson, and I've been with him for a long time now, ever since I was born. He's been a great personality, he's been a great inspiration for others, and he's one of the most important persons I've come across. Apart from the persons that I have met through him, he is itself a great person who I have admired, and he seems to be a great role model for other people. In fact, he's been a very good role model for me, and I think I've inherited a lot of qualities from him. Some of the most important of those qualities that I really admired was his quality of work. He's systematic, fine in his approach, and he doesn't like being messy at all. He likes his work being done in a properly, systematic, orderly manner that everyone finds it very difficult to know how he does it so easily and in such a very important period of time. At the age of 91, he's really fit. You don't see people very fit at the age of 91, because when the people near their 70s and 80s, they then generally tend to lose their flexibility, their muscles tend to pull, and they get a lot of problems. But even though at his age of 91, he still gets these problems, okay, he gets these problems, but he is able to overcome them because of his rapid motivation, his energy. He tends to do a lot of work on a regular basis that he tends to keep himself fit all the time. So that's something that is really catchy, and that's not something you see every day. Even if he's ill, he doesn't take it very seriously, and he works his routine, and he works out daily on his routine plan. So whether it's gardening or cooking, or whether he has a fever or not, the gardening and cooking do not get disturbed.
They never stop. They never gardening stop. Doesn't stop, cooking never stops.
It's a part of his life, it's inevitable. So whether he's ill or not, he doesn't take it seriously, it doesn't matter to him anymore. He takes it that way, and that's a positive sign for him, because when you're positive, you tend to do things more easily and you're more relaxed. He has a lot of qualities, and everyone, when they see him, everyone would want to be like him. But it's really difficult to be a person like him at his age, to have all the qualities, to still stay fit. Yeah, there are a few qualities that I have seen in him, and I think I will be able to adapt to those. And one thing is, he plans everything orderly. So whether it's keeping a particular thing at a particular place, or shifting things and remembering where he's kept it, he does it very well. For example, whether he's kept a particular band-aid or a pencil or something at a particular place, and when he's in need of it, he knows where he's kept it. When he's on his own, he knows where he's kept the pencil. And whether you're in need of a small pencil or a big cupboard or something inside the cupboard, he knows where it is, because he's kept it in an orderly way, in a way in which he can remember better.
So this is something you want to bring into your life?
Yeah, that is something that I think I can adapt with. I think I can bring it on my life, and that is something that I feel it is possible. It's not, because at his age, if he is able to express so much and he's able to have a variety of qualities that you don't find in many, then I think I can do at least this one quality, if not more.
Of just organizing yourself.
Organizing yourself.
In a systematic manner, so that you become more productive.
Yeah, more productive, and you're benefiting more. He doesn't spend more time in searching a particular thing. You know, people tend to spend more time because they forgot where they keep a particular thing. But he doesn't spend more time in searching for things, because he's got it all in his mind and doesn't seem to forget. He gives equal importance to everything. That's something that really catches up. And one more thing is, whether three or four jobs come together at a time, say a person comes and he has to clean something in his bedroom and a plant is not watered properly, or he has to plant a new plant. If all these circumstances come together at the same time to him, he doesn't panic. People tend to panic when there's a lot going on in their mind, but he doesn't seem to panic a lot. Whether the circumstances come at all at the same time or at different stages, he gives equal importance to him, and he doesn't postpone things. If there is something that can be done today, why postpone it?
You never postpone if it can be done today.
He never postpones it. Because if there is a work that can be completed today, he completes it. Or he goes for first preference. If this is more important, this needs to be completed quickly and firstly, then he goes for that work first and then comes back to this just as soon as he finishes this work.
First.
There are many advantages to be the grandson of Mr. Kalyanam. I must be privileged and I should be so lucky to be his grandson, because not every kid in the world gets this privilege to be the grandson of the former personal secretary to Mahatma Gandhi. I've learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot about Mahatma Gandhi apart from what I've read from my books. In books, it's just written and it's just reading and then reproducing, if I may say. That's what's going on
yes.
this world. And every other kid reads the same book again and again and again. All the kids, whether you're in 10th or 9th, all the students studying in the schools read the same book. It's the same information that they get, not something extra that you get. So while I've been with him, I've learned a lot that many of my age don't know about Gandhi. And apart from being the grandson, I've got a lot of privilege to meet many important people, many great people, like Abdul Kalam and the governor of Tamil Nadu, Mr. Sujit Singh Barnala, His Excellency, and people like him. So to meet such a person is a great honor to me, and I should be thankful to my grandfather. And apart from that, I happen to collect check leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rare hobby that you don't find in many others. I started this collection at the age of 5, and he's been up with me and he's been helping me with the collection for a long time. He has a lot of contacts, you see. So with his contacts, he helps me to reach a larger area of people rather than just sticking in and around where I live. He's got a lot of contacts, and while I meet these great personalities like Abdul Kalam and Sujit Singh Barnala, to name a few, that is, I've got the opportunity to ask them for check leaves. I collect blank check leaves, so it's from each bank that I could possibly see, and the more important is the person who gives it to me.
Wonderful. So he's been a big support for you in your passion.
Yeah, he's been a big inspiration. He's been supporting me from the age of 5 on this collection, and I'm really thankful to him, because if it wasn't for him, I would not have got 2000 check leaves, and I wouldn't be so, at least to some extent, noticeable to people through this collection. So I'm really thankful to him, and I'm so happy to have got such a grandfather like him.
Wonderful. One last question. You said that what most of the children know of your age and of your class about Gandhiji is what they find in the books, but you have had the chance to know something more about him, something extra, as you said, about Gandhiji. What is that fresh perspective that he gave you about Gandhiji that you didn't know before?
Well, books, as you know, are printed matter, and they don't give you kind of energy while you read them. Like, when you're reading something, it's different from doing it live, or like in research, you read something that's already been researched, and that is different from going yourself and researching there. That's the difference between books and really being there, you know. So when you read in books, you just know, like, it's a person who just printed the matter and you just inherit them, you kind of read them and just understand. But when you're with a person who's experienced it, the way of narrating, the way he tells them, it gives a new perspective. So when I've been with him, he's given me many instances that people may not know as well, but people may know many things, but some things, like, he brings it out in a different way that it's easier to understand. And sometimes when you read in books, it's complicated sometimes when the author doesn't put it in a straightforward manner. It's not all people in the world get to have the same impression when they read the book. So when you're with a person who's really experienced it, who's really been with a prominent personality and who knows more about a person, when he's narrating to me, it's like a new life. You know, it's something that
the whole scene comes alive in front of you.
It comes alive, and it's something, it looks new to me.
Yes.
It's actually, it may be the same information that I've read, but when he's narrating, I get a new energy, you know, his way of narrating, a sense of patriotism maybe, and you got to develop that patriotism in you. But when he tells them, I myself, without my knowledge, tend to develop that patriotism for our country, and he's been someone who's attached to the father of the nation, so he's inevitable, he's a great person. You could go on saying about him, it's not stopping at all. I've been with my grandfather for a long time, and I want to be just like him. And he's working hard. He's someone who gives them extra touch to everything he does. He gives more respect to the nation. His heart works for the nation, perhaps. His heart is for his nation. It's my responsibility, my duty to carry it for the future and for other people to know what Gandhiji did. And since he's been close to Gandhiji, he wants to spread his messages, Gandhiji's way of life, to others so that even they may adapt to those kind of life. So as a grandson, it's my duty. Well, I have my dreams, I have my aspirations, I need to cope up with them, I need to go along with them. But apart from that, I am looking forward to give more importance to his plans for me and his plans on how to spread the Gandhian message, to how to go about life, how he wanted the world to be, how Gandhiji wanted the world to be, and how it is today. And to change the world, to bring in a new environment, to bring a no corruption system kind of thing. So, as the future generations come, it's important that they carry the message forward, apart from what they aspire. My grandfather may not want me to be just like him, you know, carrying the Gandhian message and making that a life. I have my aspirations and I will go with it, and I will want to become what I want to become. So, apart from this, what his ideals were, what Gandhiji's ideals were, I would want to adapt to that and work in a way of life in which I can cope up with both.
You want to follow your dreams. At the same time, the important thing of carrying the legacy of your grandfather, which is the legacy of Gandhiji, that is also very important to you, and you want to see that you are in a position to take it forward.
Yeah, and it's my responsibility to take it forward, you know.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Before we wind up, let me just ask you this. Since you have been coming to Puttaparthi for so long, I think you have come to Puttaparthi many times, right?
Yeah, I have accompanied my mother. She happens to be a Baba devotee. So, I've come many times to Puttaparthi. Plenty of times, I can't remember how many times.
Okay.
Because from the age of 5, 6, you know, I've been traveling with my mother. My family comes to Puttaparthi regularly. So, I've been up with everything that's going on there.
Wonderful. So, is there anything about Puttaparthi that fascinates you?
The people, the Baba devotees, the way they handle things and the way they work. You know, it's the full city is full of Baba devotees. There isn't a city like that. I haven't seen something like that in my life so far. The people are so kind. There's no bad qualities or some kind of bad influence in that area or something. Whenever I come to Puttaparthi, I don't feel scared at all. Because sometimes when you come to a larger city, there are many disadvantages of the city. But when I come to Puttaparthi, I don't feel anything. I just feel relaxed and I feel happy that I'm in such a place. I'm in Baba's place. So I don't have to fear anything. And I love to be there every time I come there. The people are so kind. And the city itself it's a glorifying city. It gives that energy, that extra energy that you don't find in any other place. So I'm really happy every time I come there. I'm looking forward to coming there sooner or later as well.
So every time you came to Puttaparthi, you always felt more energized and more relaxed than in this metro city of Chennai. So there is something in Puttaparthi that you find that you cannot find in Chennai.
Yeah, it's not overcrowded, you know. In metropolitan cities like Chennai, Delhi, it's very crowded and it's a lot of pollution, the noise and everything. But it's a peaceful place. I could say it's a peaceful place for me. Because I've gone there many times, I'm used to it. And when I'm used to here as well. So it's easy for me to compare the two places easily. So whenever I come to Puttaparthi, it's a peaceful place. So you don't have to, you get to be relaxed on your own. You don't think, when I go there, I'll be relaxed. Whenever you're traveling itself, you get that energy that you're going there. You automatically get relaxed. So there's nothing to worry about when I come there. Here when I come there are many things to worry about in this city. So when I come to Puttaparthi, the people, the places, everything is very harmonious. And I feel I'm in a whole different world of Baba.
Okay. You have also seen Baba, right?
Yeah, I've seen Baba. I must be very privileged to see him. I've seen him many times. I've got his darshan many times. And I'm really happy to be there.
And is there any particular memory of all these visits to Puttaparthi or being with Baba or seeing Baba that you want to cherish all your life?
There was one incident, one time that was my closest to Baba. While we were traveling as a group and they gave a special preference for children to sit closer to where Baba comes. So that was one time when I couldn't forget that light coming from his eyes, because that was something that I could not forget, because I was given that special opportunity, because I used to come to Sundaram very often here in Chennai. So I got this opportunity to come with other students to see Baba as close as I could. So that was one time, I think it was 6 years back.
So that was Vignesh, the grandson of Mr. Kalyanam. You heard how this youngster who is in his 10th grade so confidently and so passionately saying, it is my responsibility to carry on the legacy, to carry on the message, to carry on the principles of my grandfather, of Gandhi. To me it was so reassuring and so refreshing. And as I was talking to Vignesh and his mother Malini, they told me that there is in fact a book written by one Mr. Neelakantan based on the life of Mr. Kalyanam. And I was very happy that someone has indeed taken the trouble of documenting the life of this great personality, and I was only eager to see him and talk to him in person. And so this took me to another home in Chennai, a tiny little house in the 6th or 7th floor of a building in Chennai. And it is there that I met Mr. Neelakantan.
I am Neelakantan. I have written this book titled August 15, based on the life of Mr. Kalyanam, former personal secretary to Mahatma Gandhi. He inspired me a lot. Our values are degrading to the extent so much that it seems it is irreparable. I was thinking of a book on this for inculcating good values among our society. I was thinking of that. I had an opportunity of meeting Mr. Kalyanam in one occasion. He inspired me a lot. He is very simple. He is industrious. He will be always doing something. He inspired me a lot. Then fortunately, I found a way for conveying my thoughts on this book. For the last 3 years, I have spent many time for completing this book. In this book, I have highlighted our values in the pre-independence era through the life of our leaders, Mahatma Gandhi. Here, in this book, two main characters. One is Mr. Kalyanam, real character. Another is Satya, 13 years old child. She belongs to a very respectful family. Unfortunately, her parents are estranged. She stays in political uncle's house. That politician has one younger child. His name is Suresh. That politician brings a servant maid from his village for educating his son. That servant maid, Tamarai, her name is Tamarai, she is also from a very good, respectful family. She is well-educated. She knows everything from Bhagavad Gita to Bharatiyar Kavidigal. She tries to inculcate values to the political uncle's son, but he doesn't evince interest. But Satya becomes close friend of that servant maid. She absorbs everything. She started to write everything in blogs about that good values. In one occasion, he started to write about the life of that politician also, including his misdeeds. When Kalyanam went through that blog, the writings, it impresses Kalyanam. He impressed by her writings. He writes to that Satya. Then they started to exchange their ideas and thoughts through their own blogs, satya.com and kalyanam.com. In particular, Satya relates the life and day-to-day happenings of today's world through her blog. Kalyanam tells the similar situations in the pre-independence era through the life of Mahatma Gandhi and other great leaders. Thus the story goes. Here I have titled this book as August 15, because August 15 is the beginning of a big change in India. It is the beginning for a change in India. Moreover, Kalyanam born on August 15, 1921, that imaginary character Satya born on August 15, 2000. Kalyanams are impressed me a lot because Swami Satya Sai Baba says, love all, serve all. He loves all, he serves for all, including plants and humanity. Most of the time we can see him in garden. He will be always busy in work. He will be cutting the dry leaf and pouring the biofertilizers. He will be busy. He doesn't waste any time. Everything is God creation. He loves to work always. He doesn't waste any moment of time. Moreover, he has donated his body to Sri Ramachandra Medical College. He has donated his eyes to Shankar Netralaya.
After his death. So, your main purpose of writing this book was to ensure that the values that he lives by somehow gets communicated to the current generation.
Current generation. We have to inculcate our values to the present society through Kalyanam, featuring his very good activities through his life.
Yes. And after having published this book, what has been the response?
I have very good feedback from the leading writers, including Indira Parthasarathy, senior IAS officers, and actor Shivakumar. That's all. So many persons have given very good feedback from so many places.
So it was a very satisfying experience doing this.
Very satisfying experience. I didn't experience such a very good response when I completed the book. It has very good response from.
So you are hoping that you'll be able to change the minds of some of the people, at least of the younger generation.
Definitely, of course.
So that is the belief of Mr. Neelakantan, that he will be able to influence the lives of some of the youngsters for good. And he indeed has, because I had the chance to speak to one youngster. My name is Surya, is going to the school, who is probably in his third or fourth grade, or maybe slightly more. He is someone who read this book. And as I got talking to him, I discovered how this book has had such a positive influence on him. And if it can have on him, why not on many others?
I'm Surya, studying in Standard 9 in Boston Matriculation High Secondary School in Nandanam. And I had a chance of reading this book and I felt impressed in that. And I love the book. I like the format in which it is written. It is written in the form of blogs, two blogs named Kalyanam.com and Satya.com. I like the format and I like the book totally.
By totally you mean the topic, the content?
Yes, of course. The content, it was very inspiring and it was incredible. And Satya is a 13-year-old girl. And she is living in her uncle's house and she writes about her uncle in her blog. And certainly the story in total have impressed me. It has preached Gandhian values and I also try to inculcate myself with the Gandhian values, which begin truth, being honest, to lead a simple life and not to waste any resources or not waste time.
So how do you feel when you learn that there was this Gandhiji and now there is one Mr. Kalyanam who is trying to follow Gandhiji's values? How did you feel when you read that?
Yeah, I feel very happy and I thought of following these values in my life also. I'm still trying to be like him.
You want to be like Mr. Kalyanam or be like Gandhiji?
be like both.
Be like both. Okay, wonderful. Now, you said that you also like the format of the book.
Yes, and it's written in the blog form.
It's written in the blog format, and I understand that you yourself have a blog.
Yes.
In Tamil.
In English.
In English you have a blog.
Yes.
So, do you see yourself writing something on these lines in the future? Maybe a book or...
Maybe, of course, I'll write a book like this myself, or I'll try to preach morality and human values and the person's social situations.
So you want to write or somehow spread the message of morality?
Yeah, however.
In the context of present situation?
Yes.
So it could be through books, it could be through writing, it could be through any other way?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So that was Surya, a student in 9th grade, sharing how disseminating morality is what he considers as a very important mission of his life, and towards this end he will do anything. That is how so silently a Gandhian works. He doesn't open his mouth, but so many lessons of life are conveyed. He just looks into your eyes and he makes you think like you have never thought before. And after this young lad, Surya, I got the opportunity to get in touch with a parent now. And I consider this is very important, because children consciously and unconsciously learn so much from their parents. And if their parents are convinced about these values, then definitely it will get passed on to their children, at least to some extent. Swami always says how Mohandas Gandhi became Mahatma Gandhi because of Putli Bai. How Jija Bai was responsible for the birth of that great warrior and king Chhatrapati Shivaji, and so on. Swami used to give so many examples. So I met Miss Prabha, who too has read this book on Kalyanam. And I asked her what sort of an impact she thought this book would have on her as a parent.
I'm Prabha. I'm basically from Tanjore, moved to Chennai a couple of years ago. I used to live in US for 12 years. I was working in IT. And I came to India just for my son. And then I came to know Neelakandan, so whom I didn't know. He used to write books and other things. But through one of my friends, I came to know he writes books. So I wanted to read some of his articles or books, so he introduced me this book, August 15th. It's about a girl named Satya and Mr. Kalyanam. They both were born on August 15th. Mr. Kalyanam was born in 1922 and Satya was born in 2000. And it's a conversation between both of them about how Kalyanam led his life during those time and how what she got it from him. So this book is actually taken in a very sequential, nice way, which is understandable by even school-going children and seniors.
So when you read this book, what are the thoughts that started working in your mind?
Actually, I didn't know many things that happened during Independence Day or before or after Independence. I was amazed to read some of the information that was passed on by Kalyanam to Satya through these blogs. He took it very interestingly. And all the kids, even I am very inspired by all the information. Even I believe all the kids of this generation should read this book, and definitely they'll get some values out of it. And those days, how the life was led in a smoother way, how whatever positiveness or negativeness handled in a smoother way by those politicians is far, far different from how nowadays it's being handled. And then there are so many values that they have taught, which this generation in a faster life, which they don't pay attention to learn. This book, as it is written in, as a blog, and now people are so much into internet and other things, I think they can take away many valuable information and take it into their life and present it through their life, which I learned so much information. I'm trying to put some of those to my son also. teach him some of those, what happened those days through this book. I'm telling small information. I strongly believe these kind of books should be introduced as a subject, as a history subject in schools, so that they don't, typically they don't read what period they lived, what they did, what and all. These kind of books, they will inspire the kids more to study and not only in the exam point of view, to learn values for their life or to learn things and teach their friends or other people. But similar to these kind of books, if they introduce as history or whatever, as Indian history basically, you can do that. Because in nowadays history book, all those Mughal empires, so many other, Jahangir, Shah Jahan, those are there, but if it can be written in a different way like this, kids will be more inspired to study.
Yes. So that is the take of Miss Prabha, one of the parents who has studied this book on Mr. Kalyanam. When we started this program on Kalyanam 3 weeks ago, a youngster by name Vinayak Srinivasan had just dropped into our office, and he is someone coming to Puttaparthi for the first time, and he's taking a break after a job which he got into after his diploma in management. Very new to this place and everything in Prashanthinilayam, but he happened to hear this program and he later told me how much he was impressed by it. And now he waited to listen to the next part. And that's what he did the last time when we had the second episode of this story on Kalyanam. He was there before time to listen to this program in the studios. So given that he still continues to be in Puttaparthi and he is there in studio today too, listening to this entire episode, and now in fact sitting right in front of me, I am curious to know his reflections on this program, his thoughts on the life of Gandhiji, and what he thinks are the lessons of life that he can take from the life of Mr. Kalyanam. So Vinayak, a warm welcome to you to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Bishu.
So Vinayak, tell us, you have heard all the 3 episodes of this program on Mr. Kalyanam and with great interest. So what are those aspects of the life of Mr. Kalyanam that resonate with you?
First of all, I am so happy to hear about Kalyanam's life. I mean, I am really inspired by the way how he was inspired by Gandhi, and how he, at the age of 91, which I'm not sure anyone else would be able to do, how he was able to live and do so many things which are so incredible. I mean,
and he's still living.
And so amazing it is. I mean, there's so much to tell you. What I have gained from that and what I have learnt from him. First of all, at that age, to be fit and healthy is something remarkable. I would like to follow some of his ways. By first of all, I would like to be healthy and fit, and that's something which if you do a lot, I should do by doing a lot of exercises, eating a lot of vegetables and fruits, reducing sweets, and I believe that after hearing about him, I believe that the more you be healthy and fit, the more you live.
Yes.
So great. I mean, even at 91, he's watering plants, he collects envelopes. It's really unbelievable.
And that's how you would want to be.
I would want to be just like that. Maybe not plants or do something else.
Do some work.
Something.
Some physical work.
Physical work by keeping my body healthy and fit too. That is one aspect which I have learnt. And I also have learnt that hearing about Kalyanam, that how he worked with Mahatma Gandhi, the great Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, he was just a simple man, but he had a high level of thinking.
Yes.
He lived so simply, but he thought very well and he did really great things. So I would like to work with someone who is simple-minded and who thinks a lot.
So you are saying that just like Kalyanam was blessed to work with such a great soul as Mahatma Gandhi, you would want to be blessed with such an opportunity, yeah, and work with someone who is an epitome of simple living and high thinking.
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, it's so great that he worked with Gandhi for some time, and he was with Gandhi. He interacted with Gandhi. I mean, not many people like him would have been able to do that. And also I learned other things, like there was an example when he went to Sevagram and he entered her room where there was a centipede. It's an invertebrate, it's an insect.
The first time he was visiting Sevagram.
Yeah, for the first time. And he killed it. Another person in the ashram asked him why he did that, because he said it is dangerous. So that person said that you should not do it because it is violence. You should have that thing of non-violence. So what I learned from this is, whatever it may be, and Gandhi was right about non-violence, whether it is dangerous, whether it is harmful, whatever it is, I must also follow the thing of non-violence. I mean, why should we kill it? I mean, it's not something, it also has a life, so we should just let it live. Whatever.
Yes.
And it doesn't.
When we cannot give life to someone, we have no right to take it.
Yeah, take it. And I also feel that doing violence reduces its life, and it's still happening in the all around the world now. So what I plan to do is, I plan to do some conservation of some particular animals which are endangered, and I want to spread the message throughout the world. Someday I would spread this message to stop killing animals and to protect them. And my message should be heard to everyone, so that it will have an impact on everyone and everyone follows my message.
So you would really like to conserve certain species of animals.
And also indicate through my message that violence is very bad.
What are those species that you think you would like to focus your attention on?
I would like to focus my attention on the tiger, which is very less in population now, and the koala bear, which is also an endangered species. And there are many others, like the Chinese alligator. There are so many snakes which are endangered, and still they are trying their best. But I want to extend my hand to put in another effort, to put in another plus point by trying to do something for them.
Wonderful. And this is because you are inspired by the principle of non-violence.
Yes. And that Kalyanam was inspired by Gandhiji, and I am inspired by Kalyanam.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That chain should go on, that it should go on like a cascade from one person to another. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I'd like to share more points.
Yeah, sure.
Also, there was this example, or there was what I heard about Kalyanam, when Gandhiji asked him to type a letter for him, he did not have the typewriter. So,
yeah, they were in the train.
So Gandhiji told him an example, saying that I would call a barber and to cut and expect him to bring his tools and equipment.
Yeah, when I call a barber, I expect him to bring the tools.
So what I learnt is, whatever the job may be, whether it's in a saloon or whether it's in a carpentry or anything, whether it's in a garage or dealing with cars, whatever it is, you have to be ready. And the most important thing is, you have to have your tools and equipment.
Correct.
Otherwise, it's simply not done.
I mean, you should have. You should be ever ready and ready with the right equipment.
Ready with the right equipment. That's what I would like to do, and I would like to follow.
Wow.
There are more things which I'd like to share.
Please go on.
See, there was this thing where Gandhi and Kalyanam were going in a train.
Yeah.
And Kalyanam did not have the ticket. So, Gandhi insisted that he also had to pay.
Correct. And he buys the ticket.
He buys the ticket. So what I learned is, no matter how big your position is, you may be the minister, you may be a foreign secretary, no matter what it is, you have to do the right job. You have to do the right thing.
Yeah, if everyone, every passenger who flies on the plane has to...
Yeah, you have to pay
ticket and...
Pay and ticket. Righteous. Why should you be... you should not make the other person think that you are some great person, yes, and not expect you. You should, if you do the right things, automatically everybody will follow you and do the right things. That's what I would like to do. Okay. And I am also inspired to do that, okay, in the future. Then there are other things like, you should always keep yourself busy, whatever age it is. And see, Kalyanam, he at the age of 91 also, how he was in that same place, building, and he took care of the building. Like, he used to also take the rental fees from everyone and pay it to the owner on time. He also used to take it from his pocket. See, that is something I would also like to do. Whatever age it may be, I would like to keep myself busy. You see, keeping yourself busy is a good thing because...
Busy with productive work.
Busy with productive work, that's what... It also will make others look at you and also respect you,
yes,
for what you are.
Absolutely.
And they will also start following it.
Yes. In fact, if you really respect time, time will ensure that with time you get all the respect.
Correct. So you should, I'd like to give an example of GV sir.
Yeah. Professor Venkatraman.
Professor Venkatraman. He's now around 80 years old.
More than 80.
More than 80. And he's all alone. He doesn't have a wife and doesn't have children. But he see how hard he works. That means he keeps himself busy all the time.
All the time. All the time.
And he also maintains good health even at above 80.
Yes.
So that's what I learned from both Venkatramanan and also Kalyanam. That even if I live till up to, by keeping myself fit up to 90 or 95, I'll still work. I'll still keep myself busy, productive. Whether I'm not well or whether I have fever, still I'll do it. Because that is, I have to do it.
Yes. Wow. I mean, that's what Vignesh was telling the grandson. That even if Kalyanam at some times became sick, he came out of it very quickly. He was not like... no occasion he was sick for a week or so. If he was not well, then one or two days and he would just be up, that's it. He just cannot allow himself to lie down.
Yeah, and more importantly, more than being sick, if you are happy to do the job,
yes,
whether you are sick or not, whether you have fever or cold, you will do it because you will pay less attention to your not feeling well,
yes,
and you will do it. And you will feel great about it.
Yes.
And automatically the thing will go away from you.
Because the work itself will energize you.
Yeah. So keep yourself busy and throughout by doing productive work and then you will feel something great.
Yes.
And that also has been, I have been inspired by Kalyanam's.
Wonderful.
And also, I'd like to share some more things.
Sure.
What Kalyanam did, he helped others. He helped Prabhu's dad when he saw him walking by pushing the pots and making more space.
Yes.
The main thing which I learnt is, whatever it is, help others. If you help others, then they will also help you.
Yes.
And also, you'll feel good about it.
Yes, absolutely. I think the joy of service, the joy of being of help to someone is something that is cannot be compared with anything else in the world.
Even if others are not helping that person, you help, you volunteer. I will help that person and then I'll feel really good. And that person who I help will also feel really good.
Absolutely.
Maybe, like Kalyanam, he was 91 and Prabhu, who was also a tenant living there with Kalyanam, maybe he said that some people would expect the old to serve the old people in their home, but Kalyanam served him and his family. Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. At an age where he should be receiving service from everyone, he's serving everyone.
And even in he cited, he said to Prabhu that whenever you're hungry, please come up.
Please come.
Come to my church. He also told him to pick any vegetable for his child.
Amazing.
That's so amazing. And I would also like to do that.
Wow.
I would like to help as many people as possible. And if I'm that age, I would also serve people, prepare food for them, and do as much in the society and do as much as I can in that same to help everyone. For example, I would like to also do what Prabhu, if there's a problem, if I'm staying somewhere in an apartment, I would like to, I should feel other people also need help, because if the water supply or if there's a problem, I will take the initiative and do and call somebody and get it fixed.
Wow, that is good. That's the spirit.
I really like that. I mean,
yes.
And another thing is, never I see Kalyanam, whatever is told or whatever help Prabhu or somebody needs, he doesn't get angry.
Yes.
So I also believe that I'm a simple person, I'm a very friendly person. The thing is, whatever you are asked to do or whatever whoever asks you help, you should never get angry. You should be happy and do it. Correct. Because the other person also will feel so happy. In fact, he will tell others.
Yes.
And they will also be inspired by you. So really, I don't know how, I'm really touched by this Kalyanam. And I also feel like meeting him sometime in the future. And things like how he is inspired by Gandhi, I also got inspired by him for a few things I shared with you. So I would also like to implement it in the future. And I hope it will also be inspired by others. Others will also look at me and be inspired and yes. And spread the message throughout the world.
Wow.
So that one day we'll have a good impact all yes, around.
Absolutely. Once we build a critical mass,
yes,
we will make a difference in the world.
Yes.
And it is so heartening that you have imbibed so many powerful lessons, and each lesson is actually very powerful. Each lesson can actually change your life. Each lesson can be a life defining perspective change in your entire sojourn on earth. And it's really wonderful that you are so serious about taking these things, and you have listed out 10, but I think even if you get 5 or 3, I think you would have made a tremendous improvement.
I'd like to add one more.
Sure.
And he also said that, Prabhu also said that Kalyanam does everything orderly, plans orderly.
Systematic.
That is the most important thing in life, which I have also learned. If you plan things in, you should always plan and organize things in such a way that it's ready for you.
Yes.
And you should keep things in your home or wherever, in a places where you remember where it is. Then you can pick it up from there.
Yes, absolutely.
For example, I'd like to give an example. My uncle, Professor G. Venkatramanan, even my own dad, he and my uncle, they plan things, they keep things in orders. If my uncle had to make a presentation somewhere in the US, which he had done long back, he planned it 1 month before going to the US. He used to prepare for those presentations nobody else. Okay. I mean, it's something
very serious. I take every opportunity very seriously.
And for example, my dad also always plans things beforehand, and he does. And if you plan things beforehand, it automatically gets you good results.
As they say, you have to first plan out your work and then work out your plan.
Yeah. Correct.
That's how it works.
Yeah, and I would also like to be, I'm also inspired by my dad, my own dad and my own G. Venkatraman sir. I mean, my dad is now 72, he's retired from the C.V. Raman Institute, and still, he does hard work. He is in charge of an operation in Nainital, where this telescope has come from Belgium, and they're building a dome, and he... from the time he gets up to the time in the evening, he's always on, there's a video screen which the people working in the telescope dome, you can see, he's always in touch with them, and he's always writing mails to them to ask what's happening. Even though the other people in the committee are not doing much, he's taking that initiative because he knows that the job has to be done, even though he's 72, and he's maintaining such a good health,
Wow.
So I am also inspired. And I would also like to do. And one day you might see a difference.
Yes, yes, definitely. Definitely difference will come. Once we are passionate about these timeless values, these values will make us timeless. They will make our life priceless. And I think that is there for all to see. And it's so heartening that... they not only appeal to you, but you are so serious about emulating them. and you don't find, like many other youngsters, you know, many of these values old-fashioned or irrelevant for the times. You see them as having a lot of value, and you're serious about it. It's really heartening.
So just one more thing. I'd also like to say that if I got a chance in the future, I would like to meet Mr. Kalyanam.
Yes.
And further get some more inspirations from him, some more things which will motivate me further. And I would also, just like they have written a book about Kalyanam, I would also like to write a book about my dad and Professor G. Venkatramanan, and make people aware of what and how they will get inspired by reading that book. And hopefully one day somebody may write about me, that book.
Wow.
That's all I would like to share.
That was fantastic, Nayak. Great dreams. As President Kalam once said, a dream is that which does not make you sleep. A dream is not that what you see when you sleep, but a dream is that which does not let you sleep. And you have such lovely dreams, and all these dreams are achievable, can be achieved, if all that you said today about what you've practiced and what you learned and what you wish to practice from Kalyanam's life, if you want to that you would like to emulate, I think even if you take, as I mentioned before, even if you take 5 points out of these 10 points and make them as the pillars of your life, then you'll one day find that on those pillars of your life stands a beautiful, fantastic, magnificent mansion. All the best.
Thank you very much.
So dear listeners, with that, we've come to the end of this three-part series on the life of Mr. Kalyanam, the awe-inspiring life of Mr. V. Kalyanam, the man who had the greatest opportunity of serving the father of the nation during the last 4 years of the Mahatma's earthly sojourn. Plenty of lessons from him to learn. And I should also mention to you that Mr. Kalyanam is also a devotee of Bhagwan, and he is someone who believes so much in prayer constantly. He keeps praying constantly. He is chanting the name. Every morning he spends hours doing Likhita Japa, writing down the names of the Lord. And he used to come to Prashanthi Nilayam. He had come last year, 2012-2013. When Bhagwan's physical form was there, he came, had darshan, and without anyone noticing, silently returned home. And he is one of those silent but fragrant messengers of the Lord. And such fragrance cannot be hidden for long. And it is so wonderful that we spent 3 weeks discussing about such a beautiful messenger of timeless values. Last time I played for you a beautiful composition, Raghupati Raghava, which my colleagues in the studios composed in honor of Martyrs Day, in honor of Gandhiji, and probably it is a fitting way to end this episode on the life of Gandhiji and Kalyanam. Let us listen to that beautiful composition again, adapted beautifully by my colleagues in the studio.
पति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम
ईश्वर अल्लाह तेरो नाम
सबको सन्मति दो भगवान रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम जय सीता राम भज प्यारे मन सीता राम सीता राम जय सीता राम भज प्यारे मन सीता राम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम
Beautiful note. It's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live. Thank you so much for tuning in and being with us all through the day, this lovely Thursday, and thank you so much for being with me, Bishu, for this last segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. On behalf of all of us in Radio Sai, we place our humble salutations, grateful and loving salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet for having given us yet another opportunity, yet another Thursday to offer whatever we can to make our lives fulfilled and to bring a little more joy on the faces of devotees and a little smile on the Lord's countenance. Let us fill our lives with His love. Let truth and non-violence be the guiding posts which direct every step of our being, and let love permeate every single thought in our lives. Thank you so much, and as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama which was staged by the students of Rajasthan, the Balvika students of Rajasthan. For the first time, it was staged in front of Bhagwan in 2004, 30th June 2004. You will listen to that in as a sign off. And dear listeners, if you have any comments or suggestions on this program, please feel free, as always, to write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of love, finally, loving sign off from all of us at Prashanthi Nilayam. Keep listening. Keep enjoying. Let us live in Him, for Him, and only Him.